One of the things that you have to understand is every Super Saturday that you attend, you are going to get a different piece of the puzzle. Every one of them is like a number that you dial in on the vault. Has anybody ever done a dial? And you have to go left and right and left and right. What happens if you miss a number in the middle? You got to start all over, right? What if every number, are they always 90% of the time different, right? So everybody in here has their own name on a vault, and there's a big old dial on it, and now you've got to dial that in. And your fortune, your success, whatever it is that you want out of Legal Shield is behind that door. What if you knew all the numbers and you could put it in? Would that work good? What if you don't have the numbers? How are you going to find the numbers? The only way you're going to find the numbers is to attend the events. The more the events you attend, 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know whether it's 4, 40, or 4,000. But I know this. People that don't stay consistent and don't take good copious notes when we have phenomenal speakers like I'm about to announce in a minute, make the simple decision, and it's just a slight edge decision, to go the wrong direction. Everybody is either going up or down. Every decision you make is taking you either up or down. You've got to make that decision. So I'm going to bring back up an opportunity for you to glean some of the best training you could ever ask for. Get your pencils out and your papers. Be ready. We're going to bring back up Mr. Chip Humphrey.
Thank you. Good job. Great job. I don't need that. Oh, yes, I do. Not yet. Thank you very much, George. Great job. And we definitely appreciate those that step up in the leadership roles inside of Legal Shield. So I'm excited. I'm going to go over some training today. Some of you probably have heard most of this training, but it's always from a different perspective when you have a different person in front of the room. And that's what makes it unique. I'm going to go over the 10 core commitments, which is our system, okay? And I've been with the company now for 21 years. And it's nice that in that 21, I can go to my notes from years ago, and I have notes that I could train on from years ago because the system is the same. So I'm going to go over the 10 core commitments in a few minutes, but I'm going to start out by just telling you a story of how I got started in my diving career. And there's illustrations and there's points that I want to make as I go through the story, which hopefully can help you and inspire you to think bigger, you know, set higher goals, bigger goals, and build the belief in yourself to go after the things that you want once you decide what you want. So when I was young, I was on the swim team. My father was a superintendent. Well, he started out, he was a physical director at a YMCA. I'm from New Jersey, first of all, East Orange, New Jersey. And my father was a physical director at several YMCAs. So I kind of grew up at the YMCA. You know, your father works at the Y, you go to the Y. And it was probably the best thing that happened to me when I was a kid, because I don't even know how many days a week I was up there, but it seemed like I lived at the Y. And so not only was I in the Y, and this is at a young age, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old. That was his job, and I would just end up at the Y. So I learned how to swim when I was, I don't even know how old I was. I learned how to swim before I can even remember when I learned how to swim. And I had a lot of great experience. One of the best experiences in being in the YMCA for me was there was a leaders club there. And because my father was the physical director, I ended up in the leaders club. And I believe, as I recall, I was the only black kid in there, and which didn't make a difference, but there were some great benefits to that. I had leadership training as a kid that I didn't even realize, okay? So the things that, you know, exposure is everything, okay? And then this is a point I want to make. Exposure is everything in life, okay? Now, obviously, in our business, you're not going to make any money if you don't expose anybody to the membership and the business opportunity. So exposure is literally everything in our business. But I believe it's exposure is everything in life in general, okay? I was exposed to the aquatic world at an early age, learned how to swim, and I love the water. I'm an amphibian. I think I'm an amphibian. That's how much I like the water. But it was only because I was exposed to it, okay? I have a friend of mine. He went to a hockey game years ago. He's a black guy. He went to a hockey game with his wife. They're a black couple. They're looking around this hockey rink, and this is, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years ago. And they were the only black people in the whole hockey rink, okay? And this wasn't even in Canada, and it was just interesting. Now you have, there's black ice hockey players that are stars, okay? And what's the difference? Exposure. Some of these, back then, black people weren't exposed to hockey, and maybe it was because it was cold. And they didn't want to, who knows, right? My point is, when you expose people to things, then they can benefit from it. And especially with the younger kids, the benefit is huge when you get exposed to something at an early age. But even at our age, when you get exposed to new things, you can learn and you can grow and you can progress. So when I was young, like I said, I was exposed to swimming and I became a great swimmer. By the age of eight, I was already on the swim team. And at age eight, my swim team, or my relay team, had set tied the national record for the 100-yard freestyle. So this is at 8 years old, eight and under. Each kid swims 25 yards. We tied the national record for the 100-yard freestyle, which was a big deal. But however, at that same time in my life, I heard people say that black people couldn't swim. Has anybody else ever heard that? Yeah. And the interesting part is people listened to that and believed that and never learned how to swim because they heard somebody say that black people couldn't swim, which obviously is, it's crazy. So my point here is you have to be careful who you listen to, okay? You have to be careful what you let inside your own head. And a lot of times these things can be very subtle. So it's not like a slap in the face or a shove. It can be just a little nudge, and then another little nudge, and another little nudge, and next thing you know, you're going in the wrong direction. You're not even, and worse off, you don't even realize it, that you've been nudged off course, and you're going in the wrong direction. So my point here again is be careful of what you listen to, or who you listen to. Be aware of who you listen to. And then on top of that, you have to be really aware of what you say to yourself. That's probably the most important part. You know that little voice in your head? Don't act like you don't have one, because we all do. And a lot of times that little voice in your head is negative. It says some things that it shouldn't be saying. One story that comes to mind for me, Mike Melia, my good friend, my upline, his father was in the hospital, and he had reached his elder age, and he was ill, and Mike was going to the hospital to visit him again, and that little voice in his head started saying, man, I'm sick and tired, I'm so tired, why do we got to go back to the hospital? And it was yam, 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 yam. And Mike recognized it and said, shut up. This is my father. I should be grateful that I'm going to the hospital visit, that I have the opportunity to go to it. So you've got to be aware of it, what you're saying to yourself. And that's the first step, becoming aware of it, because most people are completely unaware of what they're saying to themselves. You say good morning to somebody, how you doing? They're like, oh, I'm just making it. Well, you're just going to make it. Or I got up on the wrong side of the bed. Why would you? Is there a right and a wrong side of the bed? I mean, what does that even mean? But again, people are unaware of what they're saying to themselves. And I've said this to Cordell. I want to change your name. Colton. I don't even know a Colton. No, Colton. That's Cordell. I've been telling him this weekend a couple times. You have to be aware of what you're saying to yourself because thoughts become things. Okay. And there's an author named Mike Dooley. He wrote the book, Thoughts Become Things, Choose the Good Ones. He's one of the authors that was in The Secret, if you've seen The Secret, okay? He's one of my mentors, too. But thoughts become things. Everything begins with a thought, okay? This building began with a thought. Legal Shield began with a thought, You began with a thought. Everything begins with a thought, and then it can manifest into reality. Okay? So be aware of what you're saying to yourself. And then you want to correct and say the right things to yourself. You want to pump yourself up. You want to inspire yourself. You don't want to put yourself down. And you have to be careful you don't even want to say you don't want to put yourself down, because that's negative. You want to say, I want to lift myself up. So just little subtleties can make a big difference. Here's another example. Your kid's out in the outfield playing baseball. The bases are loaded, and his team's winning the game, and he's out there in the outfield, or you're out in the outfield. What are you thinking to yourself? I hope they don't hit the ball to me. Because if you're thinking that, maybe that will happen, maybe it won't. We don't know. However, if the ball is hit to you, what should you be thinking? You should be thinking about what you want to do. Okay, you should be thinking about exactly what you want to do. You should not be thinking about what you don't want to do. So in other words, you should be out there thinking, okay, the ball's hit to me, or when the ball's hit to me, I'm going to get under the ball, I'm going to keep my eye on the ball, I'm going to get my glove up in the air, I'm going to keep my eye on the ball, and when the ball comes in my glove, I'm going to squeeze the ball and catch it. I don't want to be thinking, oh, here comes the ball, I hope I don't miss it, I hope I don't miss it, I hope I don't trip, because that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Okay? And believe me or not, but this is the way things are. I went to the Nationals one year. Actually, it was my first year. So when you become, you have high school competition or college, collegiate competition. This is my junior year in college, and they had the National Collegiate Diving Championships for Division III schools. I wasn't Division I, Division III. And you have to qualify by hitting a certain point level to get there, which I qualified for. I got to the event. It was in Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania. My coach didn't get there. He couldn't make it because he was a part-time coach, which I don't blame him. You know, that was the deal. However, I'm at this event without a coach, which is the positive. You know, they tell you what you should be here listening to. I didn't have my coach there, and I was a nervous wreck. I was the only black kid in this event. There was 55 kids in the event. I was the only black kid, which, again, didn't make a difference to me, but, you stand out. And I remember getting up on the board. Practice, I did fine in practice, but this was my first Nationals. When I got up on the board, I was a nervous wreck. I had so much stinking thinking, it wasn't funny. But this was one of the, and I forgive me, I can get emotional when I tell some of these stories, but I don't care. And you guys pay attention in case I lose track. But so I'm in the Nationals. I'm on the board for my first dive. I'm doing an inward 1.5. So the board comes out this way. The board is here. So you walk out. You're standing on the end of the board backwards, but you're going to do an inward 1.5 somersault into the water, jumping off backwards, right? I'm thinking about everything that I don't want to happen.
Right.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And I got so nervous, I ended up moving my foot a little bit. And when I went to press off the board, this foot slipped off the board. I fell into the water. Thank God I didn't hit my head. But I didn't even do one somersault, let alone 1.5. So I did a fail dive. I come up, and all the scores are 0. Okay? And so I went to the shower, cried. But I still had to come back and do 2 more dives because there's 11 dives that you do. So 55 kids do the first 3 dives, and then they cut the field to 32, which I got cut, obviously, because I got zeros on my first dive. And then there's a couple of more cuts before they get to the finals. So I did my second 2 dives, okay. I watched the rest of the competition, and I watched the finals, and I said, damn, if I had just done like I could have done, I would have made the finals. But I took myself out of the competition because of my thinking. So this was one of the best lessons that I've ever learned, because it lit a spark in my heart to come back, because I wanted to be an All-American. So I came back the next year. Well, my goal was to work. I realized what I did wrong, first of all. I really realized it later as I got into personal development, but that was way later, okay? So I came back the next year. I had a whole different mindset. One of the things I realized was because I went there, even though I failed and I did terribly, I saw that I should have done better. I could have done better. I realized that I could do just as good as these other kids, the ones in the finals. So it built my belief, changed my whole belief. I believed that I could do it. I had a lot of doubt before, but now I believed that I knew I could do it. I didn't even believe it. I knew I could do it. So I went back, the next year. I ended up qualifying for the 1-meter springboard and the 3-meter springboard, which we didn't even have a 3-meter springboard at my school. But when I would go to away schools that had the 3-meter springboard, it was my choice, because I was the diver, if I wanted to compete on the 3-meter springboard, because I couldn't practice on it because we didn't have one. But I always did want to practice, because I'd do the same dives down here that I did up there, or the same dives up here that I did down there. And if I qualified, I could go to the Nationals. So I ended up qualifying to go to the Nationals on the 1-meter and the 3-meter. So I get to the Nationals, and the 1-meter competition's first. And I do my dives, and I do them all very well. It's about as good as I could. I was focused. I was thinking about what I should be thinking. My coach wasn't there, but I was focused, and I was thinking about what I should be doing, what I wanted to do. And I ended up, I got 11th place in the 1 meter. I got 11th place. So the top 16 are all American. The top eight get medals. So I got 11th place. I was very happy. I got my all-American certificate. But then I saw, at the award ceremony, I saw the trophies, and the medals. I was like, oh, they were sweet. They looked nice. I was like, I want one of those. Now, the 3 meter competition was late next, and that wasn't even my specialty. I'm lucky I'm even in it, right? But I said, I'm going for it, right? Now, I was doing the same dives from 1 meter as 3 meter. All the other divers, they had harder dives at 3 meter. Like, I'm doing a front 2.5, they're doing a front 3.5. I'm doing a back 1.5, they're doing a back 2.5. The degree of difficulty is harder. And so there's a reward for them doing a harder dive if they do it well. My mindset was, if I do my easy dives as good as I can do, and if they don't hit their dives, I still have a shot. And that's exactly what happened. So long story short, I ended up in sixth place, and I did get that medal. And it was very powerful, very powerful. But again, these are lessons that I learned just from my athletic experience of the thoughts become things, and the fact that you have to have that burning desire. And you have to be careful of who you listen to and what you listen to, okay? And be aware of what you say to yourself. So going back to how I got into the high diving, when I got to the, and I'm going to show you this clip here in a minute because I won the cliff diving in Acapulco, Mexico back in 1979, December. And it amazes me how I can go from a kid that was told that as a young kid, black people can't swim, to go to somebody that wins the cliff diving competition in Acapulco, Mexico. So I'm going to show you this video real quick because it's the result of hard work and effort. And So let me back this up because I thought the cliff diving was first. Okay. Okay, that's okay, that's okay. So the cliff diving is second. I'm about to change my stories up, man. This is a dive from Hong Kong. Yeah, it's crazy. She's shaking her head. You saw the pan up from the bottom. Here's the same story, though. A black kid that at a young age told black people can't swim. Now I'm up at 130 feet in the air in Hong Kong getting ready to do the highest dive that I've ever done. That's equivalent to the 13th floor of a building. Just to put things in perspective, this is the South China Sea. Those are sway pole act. This is at a big dolphinarium at Ocean Park in Hong Kong. My friend's videotaping from the roof. There's about 4,000 people there. That was my sneaker. Because it was April, it was cold. We actually set this ladder up to do the world record for the Guinness Book. Okay, so I have one of my friends, Lucy Wardle, set the record for women 10 feet below there, 120 feet. And then my other friend did a dive from 172 feet to set the men's world record. He and I did this dive from 130 feet to show that we could control ourselves to go up to 170 feet to do the world record. Now, he was the one that we paid to do it. We paid him $15,000. I was the backup, thank goodness. But this was the highest dive I ever did. My knees are taped so that when you hit the water, what you don't want, your knees bend this way. They don't bend this way. And you don't want them to bend that way. So I taped them to give me a little bit more strength. This was my first time up at this height, so this was uncharted territory for me. I was comfortable from 90 and 100 feet. This is a whole nother ballgame. Now you can see I'm pretty confident, standing there not holding onto the ladder. I'm as comfortable right now as I was right there. I'm as comfortable as I was there as I am right here. And how does that happen? It's your mindset, yeah. You know how it happens? And I talk about this when it comes to goal setting. One step at a time is how you get up there. One step at a time. This is a reverse somersault from 130 feet. And I will tell you, I got so excited after I did this dive, I didn't stop talking for a week. This is 1986 in Hong Kong. Don't ask me how old it was. I'd have to figure it out. I was born in 54 if you want to figure it out. I get excited when I see them. Makes me want to do it again. But again, I went from a young kid that was told that black people can't swim. You know, and this was actually my show. I was a partner in this show. We did shows all around the world. I've worked in 22 countries doing high diving shows, okay? And the point another point I want to make is it's okay to be a copycat if you copy the right cat, okay? So I learned by copying. I didn't have a coach when I was, you know, I'm from East Orange, New Jersey. We didn't, I grew up at the YMCA, but my high school didn't have a swimming pool. Okay, so we didn't even have a swim team either, obviously. So I was on the YMCA team with no coach until I went to college. And then I had a coach, okay? So I really taught myself how to dive by watching other people and copying them. I think I have a unique ability to analyze human movement, kinesthetic movement, and duplicate it. And that's how I learned how to dive, just by saying, hey, that looks like fun. Let me try that. Watch what he did. Do the same thing. And you get the similar or better results, right? So it's okay to be a copycat, especially in this business. You want to copy the leaders, the Deannas that are killing it, you know, the George, the Dave Halls that are doing the thing. You want to follow the people that are doing the right things, okay? So being a copycat in this business is okay. So that ladder, the hard part of that wasn't the dive. Building the ladder. We built the ladder. We did not use a crane. Yeah, there was no crane involved. That's a whole. I'll tell you that story at the event around the event. How do you build a 200-foot radio tower without a crane? Yeah, that's a good one. But that was the dangerous part, and taking the ladder down was the dangerous part. The dive was actually the fun and the easy part, and it was a lot of work to do that. Okay, but when I talk about goal setting, because you know you want to set a good big goal. Maybe your goal is to reach $100,000 this year or next year in a 12-month period of time. When I first got started, I told you this last night, I was looking to make $500 to $1,000 a month. I was not thinking big. But then now I'm thinking huge. Now I'm thinking my goal is $100,000 a month. Darnell, by the way, said his goal is $200,000 a month. He said that in Orlando, when was that? That was in January, last month. So we encourage you to think big, where it's uncomfortable, almost where you're scared to tell other people what your goals are. But how do you go after a big goal the same way they say how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? You got to take your time. How do you get up to 130 feet to do something like that? One step at a time. You go to 10 feet, practice your dive from there. Okay, I got it. I'm comfortable. Now go to 20 feet. Do the same thing. Comfortable. Go to 30 feet. And next thing you know, you're at 100 feet going, how the hell did I get up here? But you say, I just did 90. And I controlled 90, it's only 10 more feet. And the only difference is another 10 feet at the bottom of the dive, which isn't going to make that much difference. So it's good positive self-talk. It's good practice setting up the steps. And if you do A, you do B, you're going to get to C. And it's very simple. So I'm encouraging you to set bigger goals, go after bigger things, because it's available. So this next shot is when Acapulco, Mexico. This was in 1979, so the dive you just saw was years later. This was my second year in the business. Okay, so I just graduated college the year before. I was an accomplished springboard diver. I saw one of these shows. I was like, that looks like a lot more fun than teaching. So I joined the show, and I was invited to go to Acapulco my first year, they didn't invite me because there was some politics involved. Let's just leave it at that. But I did go to, I was qualified to go, I just didn't get invited. But the second year I went, and the second year I was in the business, I went. And I ended up getting second place, okay? Which really aggravated me, okay? And this is a good point. So, and here's the other thing. It was all friends. We're all friends. This is a closed community. There's maybe 100 people that do high diving in the world. Now there's probably more. But back then, there weren't even 100 people that did this. And the ones you'd working with, maybe 10 or 15 people, you're friends. You teach each other. You learn together these dives. Oh, you just did a back 1.5 with 2 twists. I want to learn that dive. You know, so we work together. So we're all friends. And my best friend in high diving was the one that beat me by 1 point. We still argue about this today. I said He said no. I should have. I won, and I should have won. You know, so he beat me by 1 judge's point. But what it did, it lit a burning desire in my heart to come back the next year and win. And I didn't understand that at that point. I didn't understand that until I started getting into personal development now and reading about what, you know, Think and Grow Rich, what Burning Desire was all about and how powerful that is. But then as I look back, that's what made me win. That's how I won. I had a burning desire to go back and win. So I made a plan that for the next year, everything I did was in preparation to go back to Acapulco and win. I learned a new dive. You can't practice at, you know, there because you're not there. And it's a whole different thing. Because Acapulco, you have to dive out about 27 feet to land in, about 25 feet to land in the water, 27 feet to be in the deep water. Otherwise, you're messed up. And the takeoff is different. You can't just jump up like I did back then. You got to jump out as far as you can so you land in the water. So it was a whole different dynamics. And the interesting thing was there's a hotel room up here in the hotel, up on top of the cliff, which was the green room. The green room was where you waited until you went down to the cliff to do your dive. So in this dive, I'm in a three-way tie for first place with my buddy, friend, and one of the Mexicans, Ricardo Moreno. And as I walked down there, because I had an easy dive, I had a flying front somersault, which was just as pretty as the other dive you saw, and everybody knew I could do it good, and I was going to probably win. And they said, as I was coming down, Chip should have done the flying front, because this dive I'm going to show you was a much more risky, and they just thought I would have won anyway. I didn't have to do this. And in this competition, there was no degree of difficulty, so there was no reward for doing a harder dive. But in my mind, I thought I had to separate myself out, okay? I needed an advantage. I needed to separate myself out, so I went the extra yard, learned this dive, and I'll show you here right now.
And that has plagued the Americans. And now one of the big guns for the United States, Chip Humphrey. A man who began to dive at 13, he won the championship in 1979, and this was the dive that did it. Humphrey had to have a big one. 1979,
there
watch this.
Here's
one.
The hesitation. Oh, a great dive!
And almost a perfect dive for Chip Humphrey. He knew it exactly when he came up out of the water.
What a beauty from Chip Humphrey.
Fans knew it, and look at the scores. 4 tens and a nine, and that clinched.
And there is a story behind the nine. I'll tell you that at the event around the event as well. Yeah, that's probably the happiest moment in my life. I'm so happy it's on film, too. So, and that was just a culmination of effort, focus and effort and burning desire, okay? Nothing drove me harder than the burning desire, because I wanted to win. I wanted to win on TV. You know, that was an ego thing. You wanted to win the competition because, you know, you got a title now, you know? And it was cool. But it was also a lot of fun, okay? But again, it was the burning desire that made that happen, okay? And the laser focus. Same thing that we do in Legal Shield. If you figure out what it is that you want, and where it is that you want to go, you can make that happen. So going through the 10 core commitments again, which is our method of operation. This is our system that everybody needs to plug into. Start each day the right way. And I know you've seen these before, but we need to go over these. We need to talk about these all the time, because if you're not doing all 10 of them well, and you can score yourself. Matter of fact, I encourage you, give yourself a score from 1 to 10. If you're brand new, you don't need to do this. But if you've been around, give yourself a score in 1 to 10 on each of the 10 core commitments. Where would you rate yourself? 10, you're doing everything you should be, or 1, you're not doing anything. Okay? Start your each day the right way. State your personal affirmations. Set goals every day. And review your work and to-do list. I got 3 pages of affirmations that I read in the morning. I'm just going to read a couple of them to you. I'm alive, I'm awake, and I look and feel great. I stole that one from somebody. Actually, I stole most of these from somebody. But his said, I'm alive, I'm awake, and I feel great. I added, I look great in there. I love Mother Nature, and Mother Nature loves me. I love God, and God loves me. I love Jesus, and Jesus loves me. And I love the universe, and the universe loves me. I am a dreamer. I hang on to my dreams. I am laser focused and accomplish my goals. I'm excited about life, and I get the most out of every day. I am worthy of love and respect. I am worthy of a great life. One of my favorite ones, this happened the other day. I love it when things work out in my best interest without me even realizing it until later. Now, isn't that a great affirmation to say? Mike Mealy and I won a $1,000 Super Bowl pool, and you know Kansas City won, right? And at the end of the game, it was 0-0 until they kicked the extra point. 0-0, if you know about football pools, you know, they, The second quarter, at halftime, it was 0-0. The third quarter was 0-0. So I was actually hoping that 0-0 would be the numbers at the end, because whoever had 0-0 was going to win $2,000. It wasn't me, but I was actually hoping Kansas City was going to miss the extra point because they were going to win the game anyway, just so 0-0 would win. Well, they kicked the extra point. They made it. 0-1 ended up being the score, which were my numbers, and we won $1,000. So you talk about things working out in your favor, and you're not even – I was rooting against myself and won. But these are powerful. Affirmations are powerful. These are positive statements, and these remind you of what you're doing, what you're all about. We want to get started the right day. You write down your goals of what you're going to accomplish that day, accomplish the most important things you're going to accomplish that day, and that's what you're focused on. When you wake up, you know what you're doing. Okay, you wake up, you drink your water, you meditate, you read your affirmations, you read 10 pages of a good book, so you're pouring good stuff into you. Maybe you pray. Maybe you spend some time with the family, but you start your day the right way. You control the way you start the day. You don't check your email. You don't get on Facebook. You check your text messages, because there's going to be some negative nonsense. You don't turn on the news and see who, you know, all the people that got killed last night, because that's just negative. You're going to hear that stuff the rest of the day. Start your day the right way and make sure you're focused on the things that you're going to do so that you can get the most out of the day, right? And you want to handle the big things in that day. You want to take care of the big things, not the little things. Take care of the big things first that day, all right? Core number two, again, score yourself, stay connected. George talked about this. We've got the leadership show on Sunday nights and Monday mornings. I do recommend listening to it on Sunday night if you can. Now, it's a different time for you guys out here, so you might be, well, I guess you're not working on Sunday, so, you know, and it's before the football games when it was football season. So watch the leadership show. That's corporate communication. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I've been with the company 21 years, and as we were talking on the dinner last night, I'm here as a result of the leadership show. The company I was with came into prepaid legal because we had a television network, and we could talk to the company, the field. And Harlan liked that, so he wanted that. So, and now we have, and in the leadership show, if you've been around a while, you can see how it has developed. It's excellent now. It's excellent. And my favorite is the tech corner, whatever you call it, the tech part, because they teach us about LS Engage and Prospect right on the leadership show. If you can't watch it Sunday, watch it Monday. And then if you're not able to watch it live, once it's done showing on live on Monday, you can watch it whenever you want on your own, because there's a replay. But it's very important to watch it, listen to the, read the newsletter, and engage in your team's conference calls and Zoom calls. Most teams are doing recruiting Zoom calls and leadership and training Zoom calls. That's leverage. And by the way, that's what I want to mention earlier. This business is all about leverage and duplication. Leverage and duplication. A lever will give you an advantage, okay? And duplication is just going to grow beyond your means. So everything we do, we want to employ leverage and duplication. You're employing leverage right now because your sponsor's not training you. I am. Or your sponsor is employing leverage, I should say. Okay? And if you have team here, you're using leverage. I'm training everybody here. And then this duplicates because we're there's Super Saturdays all over the country where you can have team in that are getting led and trained by people that are, you know, have more experience or more success than you do. So leverage and duplication is key to this business, and make sure you follow those social media channels like George was talking about. Core number three, do 2 to 5 exposures daily. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. If you're not doing this, you're not in business. It's like if you have a McDonald's and you don't have hamburgers, you know? And I get upset. If I go to some of those fast food places and they don't have the shake machine is not working, I'm not happy. I want my chocolate shake. I'm like, how can the shake machine not work, you know? It's like you don't have hamburgers. I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me, you know? So at least 2 exposures a day, we say, if you're part-time. I will even say, if that's too much, do 1 a day, 5 days a week. That'll be 25 in a month, okay? You're gonna sell some memberships. You can't help but sell some memberships, okay? If you do 2 a day, That's a lot more. What is that? That's 10, 40 a month. Did I do that math wrong? 50, whatever it is. Right. So And now some of you guys are, you know, you're serious. You're making a lot of calls a day. That's good. But an exposure is when people look at the information. So, you know, a good exposure, I said. You can expose somebody and get their contact information, yes. And that's an exposure, but the real exposure is when they look at the information. Because we want them to look at information so they can make a decision that they want to see some more information. Because the first information they see is should not be enough information for them to make a decision. You know, if it's a short video, there's just not enough information for them. Matter of fact, most of them are just going to get confused from the short videos, but it should pique their interest that they want to see some more information, okay? If you want to be in performance club consistently, do 2 exposures a day. That's all I've done. I've been in performance club 170 or 180 something months by doing 2 exposures a day. And this is while I had my full-time job as well, as an assistant principal at a high school with 3,500 kids. Some of them had multiple personalities. You can count them twice. It gets crazy. It does. You know, it's a demanding job. But while I had a full-time job, I could still make my 2 exposures a day, 5 days a week, and end up in performance club all that time just because I was doing the exposures and following up. So this is very important, okay? This is what you want to have duplicated in your organization, people exposing other people to what we're doing, all right? Now, I'm learning some things as far as how to do this online now. You know, belly-to-belly, person-to-person, and it's very similar. You want to develop some rapport. You want to develop a little relationship before you throw up on them. You don't want to throw up on them. You don't want to even mention Legal Shield in the beginning. You want them, as somebody said last, I think it was Matt, you know, people need to trust you first, to listen to you. You have to develop some trust, and you do that by just being genuine, sincere, and listening to them. You know, it's not about you. It's about them. Now, we are marketing Legal Shield. We are recruiting people, so we have a purpose. We have a focus, but I don't show that right away. I'm trying to make friends. Develop some rapport, develop some relationship. If it's online, as I'm learning, you just want to engage them doing the same thing. I put some posts up today. I stayed with Ashley and Cordell and Steve and Julie at their place, which is amazing. And I posted Facebook pictures, because that's just what we should do, only because I'm going to get comments from people that like seeing them. And then I can engage with them. Yeah, man, this was awesome. They got ATVs. They got all kinds of stuff. And I'm just developing some rapport so that I can get into a conversation so that I can find out why our service will help them or why our opportunity will help them. So I'm just looking, and the same thing if it's belly to belly. I'm just trying to engage in conversation, form people, talk about their family, their occupation, their recreation, or what motivates them, so that I can find out what's bugging them. Where is their pain point? They're not making enough money. They're frustrated at their job. They don't like the people they work with. Maybe they just want to be around positive, like-minded people. You know, maybe they want to make more money. Maybe they just have a servant mentality and want to help other people. You know, you have to talk to people and engage them in that conversation, and it's not salesy. So now you're coming to them to help them in their need, what's good, what's in it for them, okay? So, and then the other thing, when you're doing these exposures, you want to make sure you also don't just expose people in your backyard or your local area. You want to, at least on a weekly basis, we used to say once a week, send out a long-distance package. Now, it's a lot easier now. Ashley was saying, they still have some of the bricks at home. You might have some of them too.
I saved one.
Okay.
Nostalgia,
yeah. But the brick was a VHS tape, which is good because people could see stuff, but they cost $8. And then you had to mail it to wherever it was going. So you're in $10, $12 by the time they even got it, whether or not they looked at it. All that's in prospect now, and it's instant. You can send them, boom, one video, gone. There it is. Next one, boom, gone. Doesn't cost you anything extra. And it's instantaneous. So I encourage you to build a long-distance business and think about what cities in what other states that you want to have business in. Maybe you like to go to Vegas. Maybe you like to go to L.A. Maybe you like to go to Orlando or Miami. Build the team there right off the trips as you go down there to work with your team, right? So core number 4, attend the weekly briefings with a guest. You guys are doing the right thing. You were here this morning. You were here last night. Was that last night? What night was that? 2 nights ago. But this is very, very critical to the business because this is where you can develop the culture. Not so much in here, but at the event around the event. The Melias have taught me the event around the event is everything. Okay? They built their business on the event around the event. They get to the event early, and they stay late. And if you go to the when you go to the convention in Dallas, if you see Mike or Steve Melia, they're usually the first ones in there, and they're the last ones to leave the party for sure. Okay? And it's just a great culture. You build that family atmosphere, that family culture. You want to make sure you bring your guests to the weekly briefing. This is what this briefing is all about. It's twofold. It's to reconfirm new associates and existing associates, their decision to get started, and to keep them moving in the right direction. But it's also to get a new person introduced to what we're doing and to meet other leaders that are in the area. Okay? So everybody's a part of the weekly briefing, whether you're up in front of the room or you're in the audience. Okay? You're listening attentively. You're sitting on the edge of your seat. You're nodding. You're bobbing. You're laughing at the jokes, whether you've heard it 100 times or not. Okay? Because it's not about you. It's about the guests so that they see what's going on in a positive light. They see that you're focused and paying attention. You know, you're not on your doing text messages or on Facebook when the presentation is going. You're focused because you want them to pay attention. So we all play team. You want when you bring your guests in, you want to introduce them to the other professionals that are in the room that are sharp, right? You don't want you to bring your guests and there's only two people here. That's not a good environment. But if the room is full and it's good and positive energy, people are ready to sign up before they even see the presentation because of just the environment and the energy in the room, all right? And always attend the event after the event. It doesn't mean you have to go spend money either. You can go and have a glass of water. It's a socialization aspect. It's where you get to speak to people more closely and one-on-one. And you want to move from the event to the event around the event as quickly as possible so that you have the most energy in that room. The fifth core commitment is invest in yourself and your team. This is crucial, too. This is where personal development comes in, okay? Encourage your team to complete the Getting Started Right training. 10 pages of a good book a day, listen to 15 minutes of an inspirational or educational audio a day, and attend the trainings and encourage your team to attend the training, okay? So personal development is the magic pixel dust, or whatever you call it, okay? It's the glue that holds everything together. Your mindset is what matters most, in my opinion. Personal development will help you get your mindset where it should be. Your belief level, your confidence, all is a part that will develop when you have a good mindset, a positive mindset, a growth mindset, okay? And you get that by reading the right books. I recommend if you haven't read the book, Who Moved My Cheese, it's a great book. Short, easy read, only like 100 pages. And it talks about the concept of anticipating change, not getting blindsided by change, you know? And then you can take advantage of change because change is the only thing that's constant, in my opinion. Everything's changing, you know. And all you have to do is look at the digital disruption, the technology nowadays. You know, things are changing so quickly, it's challenging to keep up. So, I mean, I'd be careful how I say that. I used to say, I told Mike Melia this morning, I said, I just can't keep up. He said, ooh, I wouldn't say that to myself too much. I was like, you're right. I should not say that myself. So, and I changed that because I was like, you know, I got text messages. I don't need to do Messenger. I don't need to do WhatsApp. I don't need to do all this other stuff. No, I need to do all that stuff. I need to do all that, and I need to learn it. So I changed my mindset because I said, no, I'm going to be like a caveman, and everybody else is going to be on the shuttle to the moon, and I'm going to be like, you know, how do you get up there, you know? No, things are happening at the blink of an eye nowadays with technology, so we need to take advantage of it, all right? But again, personal development is one of the most important things I think that you can do. Develop your mindset and become a lifelong learner. Attend every Super Saturday. This is a monthly event, so it's easy. You can plan next month. You see, I don't take excuses from people. I mean, people say what they're going to say, and I don't beat them up, but I don't believe them. I had a full-time job as an assistant principal at a high school with like 3,500 kids. I attended every Super Saturday. I ran the weekly briefing. Most of the years, I was running two of them, and I was at them every week. Now, I was the administrator in charge. I had to do discipline, but I was in charge of activities. So I scheduled all these other assistant principals to the nighttime activities. I got that position so I could control it. Now, if it wasn't me, I would have just said, I can't do anything. On Tuesday nights, I can't be at school. I have a commitment. So my Legal Shield calendar is the first thing. Even when I had my job as an assistant principal, my principal knew, the superintendent knew, my Legal Shield calendar comes first, not the school. And nobody, I don't know why it was, but nobody gave me any hard time about it. I was just like, no, this is the way it is. I already had the job, and I'm doing the job, but when it comes to my schedule, I control my schedule. And I never, I very rarely in my 21 years have missed a weekly meeting because, you know, of a school, all right? So I was there. I attend all the weekly, I mean, the Super Saturdays, which I actually ran them, so I had to be there. But as a leader, you need everybody to attend the Super Saturday. As a leader of your organization, and you're a leader of your organization, you want your team here because then they benefit. Yes, you benefit, but then they benefit. That's the duplication. That's the leverage, and then your organization continues to grow, okay? So make sure that you bring your – now, the next Super Saturday we have is in March here, or you have in March, and you've got the speaker for that is outstanding, okay? He's a Platinum Executive Director. He's on the Platinum Council. He's a $250,000 ring earner. Okay, that's a lot of money in a year. So he's somebody that's had a lot of experience, and his family has had a lot of experience. You guys have Jeremy Moore coming out here next Saturday, or next week, yeah. Jeremy Moore is coming out here. We're going to be selling tickets right at the end of this, too. You want to get your tickets in advance. You know, make the decision. Put it on your calendar, get your tickets in advance, and then you're committed. And quite frankly, or quite honestly, I would get tickets for people that aren't here. You know, because now you can make sure, listen, I got a ticket for you. I was thinking about you. I got a ticket for you at the discounted rate, if it's a discounted rate, because, you know, who doesn't like discounts? We all like discounts, okay? But then you should. This room should be twice as big for the next Super Saturday. If each one of you brings one person and you show up, it's twice as big. That's easy. How many people can bring one more person on your team here or one more guest? I mean, it's easy. We don't think it's hard, because if you think it's hard, it's going to be hard, and you're going to make it hard. If you think it's easy, it will be easy. Thoughts become things. The seventh core commitment, attend the conventions. We talked about Dallas. This one's going to be on steroids. It's the beginning of the year, only March. No, that's in April. In April, so the first quarter. But that's going to propel you. That's going to cut off your learning curve by 6 months to a year just by attending the event. Now, you can get all the training that was there without being there. Okay, so if you don't go, it's not the end of the world. But you will miss out. You're going to miss out on the emotional energy that everybody that's in that event. And that's what's going to change Legal Shield, and it's going to take it from it's all up in your head to in your heart. And once you attach the emotion to your desires and your dreams and your goals and your wishes, that burning desire with the emotional impact, it puts your success rate on steroids, okay? So you want to make sure you're registered for the convention. The double donut, all these bonuses, I don't even try and, I'm like, read the flyer, please. But now there's double, I'm not even sure what it is, okay? But you have to, I did read it, I learned it, by, I saw the, you have to be registered for Dallas to get the double PC or whatever the points are. I have to read the flyer again so I understand it, but I know you have to be registered for Dallas. So who wants to go to the Riviera or Playa? Yeah. So you register for Dallas, and then all your network premium dollars, some of your points are going to be doubled. I'm not going to say exactly what's going to happen. You got to read the flyer, but you got to be registered for Dallas to make that happen. And there it is. It's April 2nd through the 5th. There are some cheaper Airbnbs around. The hotel's not cheap. The hotel, the Omni, is like $200, maybe $240 or something, $200 a night. So you get a couple of people. You get four people in a room. It's only $50 a night. That's still affordable. But there are some close-by Airbnbs that I've heard they're even closer to the convention than the hotel is, okay? And obviously a lot cheaper. So, but you want to do what you have to do. Figure it out. You know, if you get an Airbnb, it can be cheaper for you to get your team. It's less for your team to stay there. And you want to think about how you can serve your team, how you can make it easy for people to get there. I've got a girl in, in Michigan. Her name is Sharita. I haven't met her personally yet. I've seen her on Zooms. And I put her on this competition team we have. And I said, listen, you need to get to Dallas. And she's a single mom. She's got two young children. She does have her parents up there to help. But her upline says, listen, we're going to help her with her childcare to make sure she can get to Dallas. That's what team does for each other. Okay? And that's the culture that they're building up there. So, number eight, retain your members. You want your residual income, right? Retention is key. So you want to make sure you sell the membership right. What that means is don't say something, don't make things up. Don't say it's going to do this, this, and this when it's not. Don't say everything's free because it's not. Everything is covered, as the attorney said, under either the prepaid portion or the discount area, okay? So you want to make sure people understand the value of the membership. You want to make sure they use the membership, get their will executed or updated right away so they're getting value out of it. Both spouses, I would do, okay? And the children and the family can get their wills done as well. It's a smart thing to do. Just get them done. Now they've got something out of the membership. Make sure they download the app and make sure they know how to use it, okay? Because then they will keep it forever. And you want to tell them stories of how other people have used it, because they're like, you know what, that happened to me. I had a problem with the dry cleaners, or I had a problem with that merchant, okay? So make sure they download the apps. And sometimes there's a challenge with the apps, but there's a website that you can help correct that stuff. Now, you got a lot of people here that know technology. So at the events around the event or at the circle ups, when you have issues, you come up. It's like, so there was one young lady had a problem with her app. I said, here, talk to Randall. You know, he knows technology a lot better. Or Cordell, they know technology a lot better than me. And so did Deanna. And there's a website you can go to. I forget the name of it. Accounts something. But you can straighten those things out. So we work together in this side of this room to help each other, you know, when they have the challenges with the technology. Find a workout partner and choose a mentor, okay? Partner up with someone who will hold you accountable, motivate you, and help you stretch for more. Choose a mentor choose a mentor who can help you and guide you to success to achieve your goals. And then you want to be a mentor, okay? Now, a workout partner isn't somebody that you can call up and complain to, okay? They keep you accountable. So I like a check-in in the morning and a check-out at night. Cordell, gosh, I'm still calling him Colton. I got to start saying his name. I got to think it first, Cordell. I say, okay, Cordell, let's say your goal is you're going to make 300 calls tomorrow, okay? Huh? Cordell, yes. If you're going to make 300 calls tomorrow, we talk in the morning, you're going to make 300 calls, I'm going to make 300 calls, all right, you're going to schedule this, that, or the other thing, whatever it is we say we're going to do, then at night, we call back in. All right, how many calls did you make? You made 350. I made 250. Oh, you said you were going to make 300, he's going to tell me. So you need to get back on the phone and make your next 50, you know, or you're going to do 400 tomorrow, you know, because you said this is what you were going to do. And one of the things you got to ask people, what do you want me to do if you're not doing what you wanted, or you said you would do? So do I have permission to smack you in the face, or do I have permission to, you know, what are you giving me permission to do? Because I need to get in your face to make you do what you're supposed to do. Because it's easy for us to lie to ourselves. We can say we're going to do something and just say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow, next day. And how many people know how to procrastinate? Yeah, I'm pretty good at it. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at it. So this is why a workout partner will help you, okay? And it doesn't have to be somebody on your team. Sometimes it's better that they're not. So there's no financial connection, okay? But they are going to help you keep, they don't even have to be in the same state because it's just a phone call, okay, or a Zoom call. But this is very important. And they encourage you to do more. It's like a coach. It's like an athletic coach. That was good. You did it in 15 seconds. I bet you can get there in 10 seconds the next time. You know, you constantly push people. You got to push them to do more so that they can reach their goals. And then the 10th core commitment is raise the bar, which is your belief, activity, and your results. Also, to be here a year from now, but double your business. So being here, this isn't going to happen. You know, that's not it. Being here with growth. Every event, you want more people on your team there than there were the last time. Okay, that indicates that your organization is growing. All right? And it's either growing or it's dying. It's not staying the same. People, you know, how many people know people quit? And people lie. People lie. It's unbelievable. I had a girl tell me she was coming to the briefing, not this one, in Florida. I called her. I said, she said, yeah, I'm in the parking lot. I'm out the hotel looking for her in the parking lot. I'm like, she wasn't there. She was lying. I said, how are you going to tell me you're in the parking lot and lie like that? But people will lie. They will. They will lie. I couldn't even believe it. I was like, what? Like, I'm not going to know you that you're not here. I mean, why don't you just tell me you're not coming? I don't get it. But you need to raise your belief. You're going to raise your belief in yourself, in the service, in the attorneys, and in the company by going to Dallas, okay? By hearing from, you know, you see a stage full of all the attorneys, and it's not all the attorneys, but it's representation from every law firm that we have on stage, and you stand up and you give them that standing ovation. It sends chills through you. I mean, it's emotional, okay? And quite frankly, that to me is the best illustration of what we're marketing. When you see all the attorneys up on stage, you're like, yeah, that's what we got. You tap the app, you got that's what you got right there. It's strong. It's very strong. It gets into your heart. It becomes emotional. You feel a responsibility that, you know that this is good for people. Whether they believe you or not, you let them know about it. You educate them about it. Whether they get it, that's up to them. But at least you've done your job. You've helped. It's a service that we're providing, and it's a great service. So I believe that's my last slide, yes. So the other thing I want to talk about, I have a couple of notes. I'm going to wrap it up really quickly. But a couple of points I wanted to make. And who was it? George mentioned the slight edge. The slight edge is I love the slight edge, okay? The slight edge can move you from wherever you are to wherever you want to be, one step at a time. Just like how I got up to 130 feet. You know, if I had to go on from here to 130 feet, it would have never happened. But by working my way up, it happened. And it was not by the surprise, it was by design. The slight edge says that if you practice simple disciplines repeated over time, that will lead you to success. Just like if you practice simple errors in judgment over time, it's going to lead you to failure. A simple error in judgment is smoking cigarettes. Okay? No disrespect, but if you're smoking cigarettes, it's not healthy. And if you smoke a pack a day, it's really not healthy. And that's going to eventually affect your lungs. Not today, but over time. This is not overnight, over time. Okay? If you're eating, you know, the pork fat off the pig every day or whatever, you know, a gallon of ice cream at night, a dozen donuts every day, it's not going to help you, right? However, if you're eating, you know, salad without the dressing, your vegetables and your fruit, you're getting all the complex carbohydrates you need, you're eating healthy, you're limiting your cholesterol, that's going to help you. If you're exercising on a consistent basis, that's going to help your health. It's going to make you healthier. If you're reading 10 pages of a good book a day, if you're associating with like-minded people, you know, that's a book a month that you now read. Over a year, that's 12 books. That's going to make a positive difference, and it's going to take you to another level as opposed to the person that's not doing that or reading The Inquirer every day or watching Jerry Springer on TV or the foolishness, you know, the basketball wives or all the other nonsense they got on TV. You know, it's going to lead them right down the tube. So be aware of the little simple decisions that you make every day, because every decision you make is a slight edge decision. Is this leading me towards success or is it leading me toward failure? Now, you're not going to make every decision the right way. You know, I go drink a beer. That's not leading me to success, but I'm going to drink the beer. So you're not going to be perfect, but most of your decisions, by far the majority, need to be on the top edge of that slight edge, which will lead you to success. This is the nudge I was talking about before. The slight edge is the nudge. So if I'm going in this direction, but I get nudged off to this direction, then I get nudged off. Next thing you know, I'm going in this direction, and I didn't even realize it. I'm going in the wrong direction, okay? So the slight edge is very important. And mindset, like I said in the beginning, is the most important thing that you can do, okay? And personal development will help you create and develop your mindset. Your mindset needs to be positive. You know, I'm blessed, and I say I'm highly favored, and that's one of my acronyms. I say to everybody, I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, I just believe that, you know? And there I go again. the mindset is the most important thing that you can develop, okay? Personal development is what's going to help you develop your mindset in a positive sense. And what you say to yourself is crucial. I want you guys to start with thinking about becoming aware of what you're saying to yourself. I was talking to a friend of mine up in New Jersey about this, and she's completely unaware. She's never heard of it before. And she would, you know, I got her to the point where she started to realize it. She didn't realize it until after she said it, though. So she would say something and realize, I didn't say that the right way. You know, I shouldn't have said, I hope I don't miss that. I hope I'm not late. Hurry up, I don't want to be late. That's one. Hurry up, I don't want to be late. No, hurry up, I want to be on time. You say what you want. Don't say what you don't want. And it's so subtle. But if you're thinking, oh, gosh, I don't want to be late, you're going to be late. But if you're thinking, I got to be on time, I'm going to be on time, let's hurry up, let's go, because we got to be on time, you're thinking the right things. And I talked about that with the baseball and the other things. So, listen, I'm going to be at the event around the event, and I hope you guys are going to come on over. You know, I encourage, hopefully I'm going to see you guys in Dallas, Texas. How many people are going to Dallas? All right, that's a good turnout. That's going to be an amazing event. And I just wish that you guys would get more people out to the next Super Saturday, support the environment, the culture, because you got a good thing going here. You have a great thing going here. You got great leadership. You've got great participation. And I believe next month you could have 100 people in this room. And that would be very exciting. How energetic would that be? You have 100 people in this room, plus, especially if you have 10 or 20 or your team. And it's all about having real estate in the room. More people on your team. So, you know, like that 10th core commitment, show up a year from now, but double your business. Show up next month with at least one more person on your team in this room, and the room is double. All right? So it's been my pleasure to come out here and share a little bit of knowledge that I have with you guys, and I will be at the event around the event. So have a great afternoon.
Oops, I forgot I took this off. Hello?
Whoop. Got it? Awesome.
So we do have a little going away gift. And I do you want to describe it or no? Just let him figure it out? Does he have to open it in front of everybody? Okay. I don't know what the ladies do right here, Chip. I'm all, you know, I'm hoping it's okay, but I know one thing that I was hoping they were going to do. Okay, that's one right
shield
there. That's not
outdoor
bad.
Outdoor gear, nice.
Yeah, that's a Shields hat for you.
I'm coming back with this again. Oh, yeah. I like the outdoor life here.
Exactly.
Oh, for the plane ride home.
Yeah. we figured we could fit that one in your luggage at least anyways.
Yes, because there's nothing worse than giving somebody getting ready to leave something.
Exactly.
What am I going to do with this? Well, thank you very much, you guys. It's been my pleasure to be out here for sure, and I definitely look forward to coming back again. And I'm going to have some team out here too, so don't let me have more real estate than you do.
We don't let that happen. For the event after the event, how many people are hungry? We have Legends Sports Bar and Grill right over here on 106 South that is expecting us, but I need to give them a head count. So you could please raise your hand if you're going to come over to hang out with Chip or not. Let us know. You don't have to, whatever you want to order. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 40, 15, 16. I think if I tell her 20, we'll be all right. That'll be about right. Okay. I'll text Lisa and tell her we're good for 20. So Chip already let the cat out of the bag, man. He told you guys who was coming. Do you know that Jeremy Moore's never been here? No, not as a platinum. Not as a platinum and not for a Super Saturday. He came out and did a briefing. But he's never been here for a Super Saturday event. And Jeremy Moore, for those that don't understand, the Moore family is three generations of millionaires. Yeah. And Jeremy just recruited his son, if I heard. Isn't his son 18 now?
I don't know.
I heard he recruited his son, and he's got his son already to, his son's birthday. But I heard he recruited his son, and he's getting ready to work on generation four. Okay. So think about that. His grandma makes $500,000 a year and hasn't worked this business since Ken passed away. And it's only gone up. He actually makes more than his dad. Another fun thing, too. But what I want you to really understand is it's all about what you're willing to commit to. Chip just said it's a mindset. It's a mindset that makes us do the things we do, positive or negative. So some people will say, I'll be here next month, I'm going to get a ticket. That's one way. I myself bought 5 tickets, and I already had 2 because of the fast pass or whatever it is. 1. What is it on the fast pass? Is it 1 or 2? 1. You get 1 with the fast pass.
So, and I already had those extra tickets because it was funny. Everybody's like, George, you've got a ticket? Well, guess what? I'm going to have tickets, but it's probably not going to be for the same people that I brought Gadam for this week, for this month, because I just recruited two people while we were sitting here today. Okay? So we've already got there getting started right, set up on Monday. So I want you to understand that's what it takes is that kind of mindset. A little bit about Mr. Jeremy Moore and his wife. She also, I spent time with her out at the home office in Oklahoma. They're from Oklahoma, by the way. The home office is their home office. They're used to seeing the home office. And he's going to be here on March 14th. So write that down on your calendar now, March 14th. And if you don't know that date, it's my birthday. Just so you know. Okay? You going to say something?
So a little fun story about this couple is they grew up in the original home office. So then they actually met in, like, their little cubicles, too. So she was behind and doing the secretary stuff, and he was just visiting Papa. And so he just kept going in to see Papa but met her through it. So, I mean, it's just the fun little stories that we got to learn through Mr. Moore to learn about these guys and how she has been literally from the very, very, very beginning when it was just a stone building on Main Street in Ada, Oklahoma, to now. It's just, it's crazy. You want to be there for their stories.
Well, what's really crazy, too, is she worked in the home office for many, many years. And now she doesn't. She raises kids and everything else. So, anyways, we have a great opportunity, and we were given the opportunity to buy tickets at a special rate. So, you can get a ticket for $20 or two for $30. However, if you brought a guest, you can get five for $60. That's huge, five for $60. Think about that. Let me give you a real quick story. When I was regional vice president about 12 years ago, the last Super Saturday I ran put me in the hole personally $3,000. I appreciate, I understand, I'm more than willing to give my fair share to help Mr. Hall with the expenses that he has and brought flying people in, taking care of them, and everything else. Trust me, it's not a cheap thing to do. Ask yourself, what would happen if you had to fly these people in to meet you? Or you had to fly and meet them? It would cost you tons of money. So what we try to do is get some of the best of the best. Remember, if you don't buy those tickets today from the girls out front, that they're going to be $25 thereafter. So how many people like to save money? How many people understand that if they put it out into the law of attraction and allow those things to happen, they're probably going to bring people back with them because they got an extra ticket? If you had an extra ticket, would you probably make sure you had somebody attached to it? Or are you just going to pay $30 for your Super Saturday instead? Two ways of looking at it. The other way to look at it is, Chip just said, team takes care of team. That's exactly what we want you to do. Take care of your team. Guess what? You haven't even met your team yet. They won't even be here until next month on March 14th. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys all over at the Legends Sports Bar and Grill. Well, that's a bummer. I'll still have my birthday, though. It's all right. I always like having birthdays because birthdays are better than not having birthdays. He's looking in the wrong ear. Lee, you get it too far ahead of us, dude. 2021, serious? Dude, I can't believe you did that. That's killer. All right, let's get with the gals out front, and then let's get the people over there, and let's go hang out with Chip. And how many people want to hear the story about how that thing was built? Yeah, I want to hear that story, too. So we're going to see Chip over there at the Legends. We'll see you guys over there in a few minutes. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a key up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.